I'm Justine.
And we are the Murder Sisters. Just first off, we want to say sorry for being a little late in posting this week's episode. We had some scheduling conflicts, so today was the only day. Today's February 11th, so today was the only day that we were able to get together. So we apologize for that. Next week, it's going to be posted normal day, Monday. So that's just first and foremost.
In the news.
Yeah.
That was good.
Thank you. Well, so this week we are going to be covering a disappearance. We wanted to kind of mix it up. We've been doing a lot of murders lately.
Because we are the murder sisters. But, you know, a lot of murder. It's a lot of sad.
Yeah, let's just like tone it down with the disappearance.
Just a disappearance.
So the disappearance that we are covering in today's episode is the disappearance of Bryce Laspisa. And per our usual format, Justine is going to cover the first half. I'll take the second. So, Justine, it's all you.
Take it away. All right. So, Bryce was the only child of Mike and Karen Laspisa. He was born on April 30th, 1994. He went to Naperville. I don't know. High school in Naperville, Illinois, where he played football and baseball. He graduated in 2012. And after his parents retired, the family moved to Laguna Niguel, California. Bryce then moved to Chico, California, which is 450 miles away from his parents, to attend Sierra College in Rocklin, California. Hmm. He was taking courses in industrial and graphic design, and at the time of his disappearance, he was a sophomore. Bryce was described as being friendly and had a good sense of humor. He had a lot of friends. He was also a very talented artist and was good at drawing. So hence why he was taking courses in graphic design. During his freshman year, he met a nearby student named Kim, who was going to Chico State. And they made their relationship official on their Facebook status. That's how it's done. So Bryce seemed to be happy, and although he had spoken with his mom on August 26, 2013, which was also the first day of the fall semester, he seemed normal. He seemed normal to his mom. His friend said he had been doing some drugs and some drinking for the 2 weeks leading up to his disappearance. A few days before Labor Day weekend on a Wednesday night, Bryce started acting out of character. It was so much so that his roommate contacted Bryce's mom. His odd behavior had started after staying up all night playing video games, and he was taking a drug called Vyvanse, which is a stimulant for ADHD.
Quick question.
Yeah.
So that's like kind of similar to Adderall, correct?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
It's just a stimulant drug for ADHD.
So like one of those study drugs that
college kids take. It's like a college drug. And okay. He wasn't prescribed it. It was like kind of like compared to like
which
a
is never good
drug.
If you're not prescribed something like that hardcore, you should not be taking it.
Yeah. And kind of seemed like it tied in with some of his behavior and possibly disappearance. But so the night before, Bryce was texting back and forth with his girlfriend the night before he disappeared, and then he broke up with her via text.
Ooh.
Which was like kind of out of nowhere.
That's rude.
Yeah. First of all, rude. Second of all, weird and out of character for him. So Bryce was acting so out of character the night that he broke up with his girlfriend that Bryce's roommate actually called Karen, Bryce's mom, and said, like, he's acting super weird.
That's kind of, like, sorry to interrupt, but, like, that's really, you have to be acting really, really strange.
Yeah.
For your friend to, like, call your mom.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
I don't know. I guess our friends are pretty, like, normal.
Yeah.
I couldn't imagine a scenario where I would be so worried.
Yeah. Yeah.
That I would be like, oh, calling your mom. Like,
yeah,
so it must have been pretty bad.
Totally, like very concerning. I would be scared if I was his mom. Yeah, it is. It takes a lot for a college kid to be like, yeah, I'm calling your mom.
Especially college.
I'm calling your mommy. And then just a couple of hours after Bryce's roommate called, she got another call from Bryce, who was then at his girlfriend's house in Chico. And his girlfriend spoke with Karen and said that Bryce is also acting out a character. It's like very consistent.
Red flag.
Yeah. Bryce got on the phone with his parents or his mom and said Kim was keeping his keys from him and all he wanted was just to come back home. And Kim was just upset because he broke up with her. So Bryce got on the phone with Kim and said, give him back his keys and let him drive home. Bryce's mom also insisted on flying to meet him the next day. And Bryce said not to. He was okay, but he also had a lot to talk to his mom about.
Oh.
Yeah. I have a lot to talk to you about.
I think if we tried to pull that with our mom, she would just get it out of us at that time.
Yeah.
It's She'd be like, I don't think so.
Like, don't come here. But I do have
a lot to talk about.
And also, two of my close friends and my girlfriend have called you and said, I'm acting out.
He's acting weird and I'm concerned.
Yeah. And then it's like, oh,
okay.
No, don't
we
fly
can
here.
Talk
oh,
later.
Okay. All right. Sounds good.
No.
So then, like I said, Karen said to Kim, give Bryce his keys back. And after she did that, Bryce left Kim's around 11:30 p.m. The summer before school, Bryce spent the whole summer with his parents. Everything was fine. He had only been back at actual college for 2 days. And for 2 days of school to say, hey, there's something really important I need to talk to you about. I think he must have gotten there earlier, though, because his friends said he was like drinking and stuff the 2 weeks leading up to that. But it's just odd. It's like you're just now starting your sophomore year. And
yeah, it's like, what could it possibly be?
Yeah.
And I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't they spend, like his parents had spent the previous couple weeks with him. So they had like just seen him not that long ago.
Yeah, yeah. That's, well, see, I found that his friend said he was doing drugs and drinking for 2 weeks leading up to his.
Okay.
So I don't know, but
so
I know the summer.
Maybe he was with his parents the 2 weeks before the weeks.
Yeah. Okay. Well, he was definitely with them for the summer. So we know that much.
Yeah. And it's just kind of like what could have possibly
happened in that short time frame.
Yeah.
And so at 1 a.m., Bryce calls his mom and she assumes he's back home. So he had left Kim's at 11:30 p.m. At 1 a.m., Bryce calls his mom. Of course, in that time frame, he didn't live far from his girlfriend, so she thinks he's home. But cell towers later indicated that Bryce was actually an hour away from his apartment at that time and really nowhere near his home at all.
Hmm.
So Bryce had actually headed south past his college campus towards Tapachahi Mountains. So forgive me.
I used to know how to pronounce that because of geology, but
I don't know. You know what I mean, though. Some kind of
I know.
mountains with a T, which was super odd to everyone. Like, what is he doing? Where is he going? And then at 11 a.m. the next morning, the insurance company calls the Lapisas or contacts them to alert them of a roadside assistance call for Bryce's car. Naturally, Bryce's mom calls his apartment to like speak with him, but finds out from his roommate that Bryce had never made it home the night before. It seems like Bryce had a credit card maybe with his parents because they were also able to see that Bryce had used the card at a truck stop in Button Willow, California. They actually, like, knowing that information, assumed Bryce was heading home because it was only a few hours away from their house. So Bryce's dad was able to trace the charge on the credit card to a tire repair shop. He spoke to the man who was called out to Bryce's car and said he had filled the car with 3 gallons of gas. The man could tell that the Lapisas were concerned about Bryce, so he offered to go back and check on him. He found Bryce in the same place he had left him and put Bryce on the phone with his mom. Bryce said to his mom that he was fine. He was like, I don't know. I'm just sitting here. I'm fine.
Mm-hmm.
Bryce's mom told him, fill up your tank with gas and come home. He said he would. She was expecting him home around 3 p.m. that day. But by 3:30, when he still wasn't home. She hadn't heard from him. He tried calling his phone over and over again, and there was no answer. So the Las Pisas filed a missing persons report with the local police. The police got an emergency ping order, so that's where they can locate exactly like where his phone is at. Mm-hmm. They got the ping order for his mobile phone.
That seems like really quick.
Yeah, doesn't it? That's what I was mm-hmm. thinking. Like, they acted super fast. Hmm. I don't know.
I mean, that's good.
Yeah, it's good.
But it's a little surprising. Wow. Yeah.
Okay.
I didn't know what happened that quickly. Yeah.
And you'd think that they'd be like, well, where was he last located? And let's go there and check it out. But no, they just got this order for the phone, and they were.
I wonder if it's because his parents, like, maybe they had a family plan. And the parents paid the bill. So it was like a lot easier to do it.
Yeah. Like, can you ping one of our own phones that we pay for?
Okay.
But, you know, when they found out where the ping was, they were shocked because Bryce was still in the same area that he was the last time Karen spoke to him. So he had been there for about nine hours straight with, like, not moving much, like, not moving
That's
much at
so
all.
So weird.
And so the police go to locate Bryce, and they do a sobriety test on him, and they also search his car. Bryce mm-hmm. agreed to let them search his car. They found no drugs, and they said he was sober. Hmm. He appeared to be lucid, and he was fine. And when the police told Bryce, like, you need to call your mom, she's worried, you need to talk to her, he was really reluctant, which is weird also. Yeah. And so the police ended up calling Bryce's mom, and she asked them, is Bryce okay to drive? And they said, yeah, he's fine. Hmm. She got on the phone briefly with Bryce, who said, I'm fine, putting my stuff away in my car because the police just searched everything. Yeah. And I'm fine to drive. I'm fine. And so everyone assumed he was okay and that he'd be heading home soon. And Elisa, take it from here.
All right. I'll pick it up. So at this time, the man that had assisted Bryce with gas, his name is Christian. He had returned a call to Bryce's mom, Karen, that he had missed earlier in the day. And Karen had told Christian that she had received a call from the police and that Bryce was still in Button Willow. So Christian insisted on going to the rest stop or the truck stop where he last saw Bryce. But Karen told him, you don't need to. Bryce already left. He should be on his way. But Christian went anyway, and sure enough, Bryce was still parked in that same location. And keep in mind, Bryce had now been in Button Willow, just Button Willow, for roughly 13 hours, just parked and doing absolutely nothing, which is, in my opinion, odd.
Very. I can't even imagine my butt would be able to sit for that
long. Like, what are you doing? Are you at least sleeping? No.
Yeah, probably. Nothing. Not eating?
No.
No. Playing games on your phone?
No.
Maybe. We don't know. But
oh, yeah. He could be.
I don't know. Like, thinking. To me, it was like this thinking and stress, because stress always like makes this like.
It's like where time just goes by.
Yes. Like, yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. So as soon as Christian saw Bryce parked in that same location, he made another call to Karen to let her know that Bryce had not left to head back home. And after talking to his mom, Bryce agrees to finally head home. And Christian actually offers to follow Bryce until Christian's exit came up onto the highway or the freeway, just to make sure that Bryce was actually leaving and actually headed in the correct direction towards his parents' house. And I this guy did a lot more than most people would do.
He should get some kind of like an award for citizen. Like,
I mean,
being
he
a
must
great
be
citizen.
He must be a dad or something.
Yeah, you know? Yeah.
It was just above and beyond. Very considerate and nice of him. So after following Bryce for about 20 miles, so Christian followed Bryce for 20 miles on the freeway, and then he finally had to take his exit. And he called Karen one last time to let her know that Bryce was on the highway, headed in the direction of their home. And from what he was seeing, it was all good. Like, he was driving fine. Everything seemed good. So Karen made sure to tell Bryce to have his cell phone charged and on so that she could call him throughout his drive back home. And I believe at this point, the drive was roughly like 3 hours, I think.
Yeah, I think that's what
Yeah.
About what I saw too.
Mm-hmm. So throughout his drive, they did exchange a few calls over the next couple of hours as Bryce is supposedly heading home. Karen and Bryce's father, Mike, asked Bryce to give them some street signs or like landmarks along the way. But Bryce didn't provide any because according to him, he said it was too dark and he couldn't see anything. But he did mention, oh, my GPS says that I should be home around 3:25 a.m.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So
I just can't stop like thinking if I'm a parent and my child is acting this bizarro out of everything that keeps happening, like, how do they just sit there and wait? Well, I can hardly even wait when you're like going to the grocery store and coming. I'm like, text me.
I would text me when you get home. Personally, I mean, it's easy for me to say as like an outsider, but I think I personally would have driven there.
Yeah, I definitely.
I would have driven to Button Willow. Like, stay it was three there. 3 hours away.
Stay there. I'm coming.
Yeah.
I guess the one fear, although if one parent stayed home and one parent drove, then it'd be like, well, I'm going to be here if he comes home. And then like one other parent goes to find him.
Mm-hmm.
But I definitely 100% would go out. And
I mean,
look.
It seems like Christian, the gas mechanic guy.
Yeah,
seemed like willing to help. So I almost would have like.
Yeah, I'll
him,
pay you.
Yeah, I'll ask you to kind of like make sure he's staying in that location as I'm driving down.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too. I know it's a long time, but I'll pay you for your service.
I will pay you. So getting back to the timeline. So at around 2:09 a.m., Bryce makes a call to his mom and tells her that he is really tired. He doesn't want to continue driving any further and he needs to pull over so that he can get some rest and he's going to sleep in his car. So his parents both say that is totally fine and to go ahead and pull over to sleep. I feel like there was a maybe missed opportunity here to ask Bryce to stay on the phone with them as he pulled over and actually found a spot so that they knew exactly where he was.
Yeah, it's like they're letting him have his independence, but maybe.
But also, yeah, sorry.
No.
But also, I think at this point we know Bryce is not being entirely truthful with his parents because he doesn't want to be.
Yeah, exactly.
So who knows?
They should see that too. It's like, Bryce, you've told us like 500 times that you're going to be home soon.
Yeah,
and you're not,
like I'm not.
So.
Yeah. And you shouldn't be tired. I'm sorry. You've been doing nothing all day for like 2 days.
Please.
What are you tired from?
That was funny.
So, yeah, I guess that was enough for his parents. And they actually went to bed.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm like, oh, that's I could
like
never
fall asleep.
There's
more going on here with the family dynamic, but I'm not going to make any assumptions here.
I don't think I would be able to fall asleep until the person made it home. But again, it's easy for me to say. So on the morning of August 30th, Karen and Mike woke up to a knock at the door, which was around 8 a.m. And they thought that it would be Bryce. They thought, oh, it's Bryce at the door and he like doesn't have a key or something. But also keep in mind, he was supposed to be home around 3:30. He was pulling over to take a little nap. So why would he be home at 8 a.m.?
Yep.
Still doesn't make sense. But it was not Bryce. It was a California Highway Patrol officer. And he asked them if they owned a 2003 Toyota Highlander, which was the car that Bryce was driving. The highway patrol officer proceeded to tell Karen and Mike that their son's vehicle had been found abandoned at Castaic Lake.
Oh, wow. See, this is stuff that I thought I knew the rest of the story, but I don't. Like, I didn't know that, actually.
Surprise, surprise. So I went ahead and Googled the distance between Castaic Lake and Laguna Niguel, which is where his parents live, and it's about 2 hours away. But we do know that, according to his parents, like, he was not familiar with this area at all.
Okay.
So we don't know if he got lost, if he took a wrong turn when he was trying to find a place to rest. Like, we don't know.
Yeah.
But they do know that was not an area he was familiar with.
That they know of, I guess. Yeah. Right?
So the CHP officer then tells Mike and Karen that Bryce was nowhere to be found. And also that his car had actually been crashed. And the back window appeared to be kicked out as if Bryce had like survived a car crash and kicked out the back window to free himself from the damaged vehicle.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That's crazy. Okay.
And the CHP officer also mentioned that all of Bryce's personal belongings were still in the car, which is never a good sign. His laptop and cell phone were still actually inside the car, and he had a duffel bag and his wallet, which were located outside of the vehicle.
What was the duffel bag full of? Do you know?
I don't know. I think maybe I would imagine clothes, but who knows?
Yeah.
So the officers found no indication that Bryce had been injured aside from a very small amount of blood on his headrest, but the headrest in the back seat. Headrest on the passenger side. Sorry. Oh my gosh.
Wait, a headrest in the front seat passenger side?
So he found... They found blood on the headrest and in the back seat.
Oh, and.
Yeah.
Okay.
But just a small amount.
Okay.
Which led them to believe that Bryce had left the scene on foot and was kind of unscathed just because there wasn't a whole lot of blood. And the vehicle had appeared to have been intentionally driven off of a hill towards the lake and had crashed at the bottom of the hill. And the tire tracks indicate that he was actually accelerating down the hill, which was 25 feet down. And then the car flipped on its side with no signs of braking at all, which led officers to believe that he was attempting to complete suicide.
Yeah, that sounds like it. And that would explain sitting there contemplating for so long.
Exactly.
You know, just like going through things in your head.
But the thing that doesn't make sense is like, I have a lot to talk to you guys about. Like if he was planning on.
Oh, that's a really good point.
But then maybe it could have been something that he was like, I couldn't live with my parents knowing whatever.
Yeah. I can't talk to them.
Yeah.
Like I'm desperate.
I'd rather be gone. Yeah.
Huh.
So apparently, from the top of the hill that the car went down, it looks as though the lake is like a lot closer to the location that it went off the hill. So what they're thinking is that he was trying to drive his car off of the cliff and into the lake in an attempt to complete suicide.
Yeah.
But it just didn't. It was.
It got like.
Yeah, it wasn't as close as it looked from the top of the hill.
Okay.
And as Justine had mentioned earlier, like in the weeks leading up to Bryce's disappearance, he had been heavily drinking and taking Vyvanse. And he also did some other weird stuff. He gave away his diamond earrings and his Xbox to his roommate.
Okay, that's a big like red flag signal.
And I guess the diamond earrings were like his mom's.
Whoa.
So that was weird. And then, so those are all kind of the signs that people say to look out for, like if
like suicidal or just trouble.
Yeah, like something. Health. Yeah. Or even maybe they're looking to take off.
Yeah. Can you imagine if I was like, Alisa, I'm going to give you my necklace that I love. And like,
I'd be all, why?
My ring.
I don't want it. Keep it.
First of all, I don't want it. It's really cute and all, but
I'd be scared and weirded out.
But it's like an ominous type of sign. And
agree.
All right.
But supposedly Bryce's parents strongly disagree with this theory. They said that Bryce wasn't struggling with any substance abuse problems and that he was just like any other college kid that was experimenting. Which, okay. Who's to say?
They seem out of touch.
But then also,
I'm going to just throw that out there.
Who's to say? But yeah, it's, I don't know. They said that he did have a couple, the dad said that Bryce had a couple of incidents, which I have no idea what that means because they didn't go into detail about what kind of incidents.
Okay, that's, I'm like, that could be something, important.
But that also could be nothing. And Karen also said they had spent time with him 2 weeks prior. She said 2 weeks prior to him disappearing.
Oh, I know. Okay. So I think they spent time with him 2 weeks like prior, but the 2 weeks leading up.
Got it. Okay. Yeah. So they spent 2 weeks prior to him disappearing together. And she said that he was totally normal. He didn't have any problem with substances. She also said that if he was having problems that he would have let her know. But I don't really agree with that.
I don't think so, because he was reluctant to talk to her.
Exactly.
He seemed nervous to even like, and having to say, I have a lot to talk to you about. So I don't think so. It seems like they just didn't know him maybe as much as they...
Which is sad. I mean, they probably felt like they knew him really well. But like, who really knows their 21-year-old kid or whatever?
That's so true. Only a sibling.
Yeah.
Or like a best friend will know what's really going on.
Especially when you're like that young and you're finally free from your parents. Like, so Karen and Mike made it seem like they were all really, really close. And that they would have known, totally known what was going on with Bryce, regardless. Like, I don't know. It's going back to the disappearance, the police said that they had conducted ground searches on foot, ATV and horses with hundreds of officers involved, as well as doing a search and rescue and helicopters. So they used like all resources.
Oh, that's good.
It is good. The search went on for the entire weekend, and they even brought in cadaver dogs to search the area of the lake and hills and shoreline. But still, they came up with like absolutely nothing. They also had divers and boats that were looking for him in the water. Still nothing. Karen had contacted the media to get his information about his disappearance and like what he looked like out into the public. And Mike took a different approach. He made signs, missing person signs, and just posted them everywhere. 5 days after the disappearance of Bryce, a jogger had called police after he saw a brush fire burning in Casayas Lake, just 3 miles away from where Bryce's vehicle had crashed. So when officers responded to the fire, they discovered that a body had been lit on fire.
Oh, my gosh.
And given the proximity of where the body was burning and Bryce's crashed vehicle, they were thinking, like, is this Bryce? Obviously.
Yeah.
That would make sense.
Yeah.
But after DNA results came back in, they were able to confirm that it was not Bryce.
Okay.
And that it was just some L.A. residents. It was some guy.
Just some guy.
They didn't say, like, who or what. So, like, that kind of only added to thing. It just added to the mystery of the whole thing.
And probably, like, the roller coaster of emotions and...
Yeah.
Man, I mean, that is crazy. It's just crazy.
It's really
How
weird.
Does somebody that young also, like, just disappear?
Exactly. And so, like, adding to the mystery even more is the fact that hours before Bryce had crashed, there was actually camera footage that took a picture of Bryce's license plate going up that hill that he drove off of.
Oh, wow. Okay.
On two separate occasions.
Okay.
So once was around 2:15 a.m., which was 9 minutes after Bryce had called his mom to tell her that he was tired and was going to pull off of the highway to sleep in his car.
Okay.
And the second time that Bryce's license plate is captured on the camera is at 4 a.m. And it's going up that same road.
Whoa.
So, yeah. So he,
maybe he was lost.
I don't know. Well, what would you, I mean, so he traveled up the hill, stayed at the top of the hill or wherever for a couple of hours, traveled back down and then traveled back up again.
Interesting.
And we can assume that the second trip up the hill is when he drove his vehicle seemingly intentionally off of the hill.
Oh, or I have no idea.
Yeah, it's, I mean, I don't know. Just looking at it, all of it together, it seemed like Bryce was maybe getting the courage to attempt to...
I was thinking the same thing, kind of checking, scoping it out and thinking again, thinking.
Maybe that's why he was in Button Willow for like 13 hours because he was, like you had mentioned earlier, just thinking.
Yeah. Gosh, it's sad. And then he broke up with his girlfriend. I mean, like you said, giving away his stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's just... And nobody could, like, connect with him to
And who, I mean, like,
this.
Who knows what was going on in this kid's head? It seems like he didn't talk to anybody.
Yeah, everyone thought they knew him, but really, they didn't know him at
There's
all.
There's clearly a lot going on. And Karen, so after Karen, God, poor Karen, it's just, like, denial, I don't know. Karen said that, so after finding this out, the information about going up the hill twice.
Yeah.
Karen said she doesn't know, she doesn't even know if that was Bryce driving the vehicle. Because it was abnormal behavior and she doesn't think it was Bryce. Which is like...
Like, hello, want to talk about abnormal behavior?
I mean, it
was
Bryce.
Denial.
So I don't know what she was implying there. Like if somebody had taken his car.
I think she was maybe implying that he had been a victim of foul play of some sort, maybe. Like
but then
she can't cope with the fact that maybe he was suicidal.
Yeah. Okay, so I shouldn't be so hard on her, but...
I don't know. I'm hard on everyone, so...
So on day 9 of him being missing, bloodhounds were brought in to Kosaic Lake to track Bryce. And they actually hit on his scent, and it went up to a trail and past a dam and past a roadway, and then they picked his scent back up again, heading towards a truck stop area.
Okay. Back to a truck stop.
Yeah, I know, all these truck stops. And those were actually two separate bloodhounds that followed that very similar trail, and they were brought out at separate times.
Oh, okay. So that's confirmation.
They're pretty confident that, I mean, dogs are pretty reliable, but they're not always reliable. But I think if you have two dogs hitting on the same trail or scent path or whatever, like, it's pretty probably accurate.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So he may have made it to the truck stop, avoiding roadways and witnesses, because they said it was kind of like the back way. And then once he made it to the truck stop, he could have gotten a ride from a long haul trucker.
Yeah.
The two viable options here at this point are that he walked away from his parents and his life for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
Went to that truck stop, hitched a ride somewhere, or that he completed suicide, maybe not at Kosaic Lake, but somewhere else. Maybe he got a ride to a different area and completed suicide there. But who knows? Because
nobody's found his body.
Yeah, and there's never been any trace of. Sorry.
No,
there's never been any like truck drivers that have said, oh yeah, I remember picking that guy up.
That's true. Yeah.
And I don't think we mentioned this earlier, but Bryce is a tall guy. He has fire engine red hair.
Yeah. Big
hard
smile.
To miss.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He has like
very unique, like
very hard to miss. So I think people would remember, especially if nothing else, the red hair.
Yeah.
So over the next few years, some tips continued to come in of supposed sightings of him, but really they led nowhere. And his social security number, his passport number, his fingerprints, and his driver's license number are all registered, like connected to his missing person,
mm-hmm.
this missing person report. And there have been no hits over the years. So if he did disappear, then he has done a fantastic job.
Fabulous.
At staying off the radar. God, I can't talk today. I'm so
it's
sorry.
All right. We're rusty. Took a couple days off.
But I was thinking, like, maybe he got a job. So, like, it seems like the areas that he was in were kind of in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
So maybe he hitched a ride and he got a job that, like, paid him under the table and, like, gave him a place to, like maybe on a farm or something. You know?
Yeah, that's true.
Something?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Yeah.
That's God. Like, it's
just, yeah, why? But, and, like, why? Well, I guess he was going to college maybe because his parents wanted him to, and he just wanted to like escape.
And then it's like sometimes when you're that young and it's something happens, it seems like the absolute end of the world.
Yeah.
And desperate. Like as you get older, you realize like, why was I so freaked out about that? It wasn't
totally.
A big deal.
Mm-hmm.
So who knows if there was something like that happened and he just couldn't tell his parents. He couldn't. Maybe he was worried that they were going to be ashamed of him or like disappointed in him.
Mm-hmm.
And at this point, it's been like years since he disappeared. And so I could see if you are gone for that long, it's kind of like, I don't want to go back.
Yeah. I can't just like show up
and be like, hey, guys, sorry for being an asshole. And
especially
like,
if he like started a new life and all his life is now is not knowing his parents and not being in contact with family and friends.
Yeah. So the Lapisas eventually got a private investigator that works, and she actually works for them pro bono.
Oh my gosh. That's
cool. That's according to her, there is really no evidence to go on in this case.
Like nothing ever at
all.
Yeah,
she said there's like not a lot. But one thing that she does believe is that Bryce would have never walked away from his parents without letting them know where he was and that he was okay.
Okay. So she looked at his past behaviors.
Who knows? She also suggested that Bryce may have suffered a head injury and doesn't necessarily know or remember who he is. And that's kind of why he hasn't contacted his parents or returned home.
Okay.
Which, again, who knows?
Right. Uh-huh.
The Lapisas also hired someone that specialized in like the sonar.
Oh, looking in lakes?
Yeah.
Yes. And water, bodies of water.
Yeah. And they had him go out to an adjacent body of water called Government Cove to look for any signs of Bryce, because they said that the water in that location was a lot deeper. And so maybe,
yeah,
he might have gone to a different body of water if he was going to. So it seems like they weren't ruling that out entirely.
Yeah. Okay.
But after searching 2 full 12-hour days, they came up with nothing.
Okay. Well, they're doing everything they can, sounds like. So,
yeah,
to eliminate possibilities.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And I don't know how harsh I was, like, on the parents or whatever.
Not
but,
at all. I don't think you were okay, harsh. I was harsher than you.
I just feel like hindsight's 20/20, but I feel like the situation could have been handled differently given the fact that Bryce was exhibiting all these odd behavior.
Yeah.
And that was, it was out of character. And like the mom had two people calling and saying like, Bryce is being weird. And they were that concerned. And I just feel like maybe if they would have driven to his location in Button Willow and like picked him up, or maybe like, I don't know, just.
Yeah.
It been could more have, proactive. May have turned out differently,
mm-hmm.
but who knows? And then I also was thinking, okay, so like he was taking a lot of Vyvanse and drinking.
Yeah.
So maybe that Vyvanse abuse could have caused some sort of like
psychotic
break.
Yeah.
Of some sort.
And that's very true.
Because if you're not prescribed that medication, it can be like really
bad.
Bad.
You don't
want to take medication that's not prescribed to you.
Yeah.
Because it's not prescribed to you for a reason.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then especially when you're mixing a prescription that you don't take and shouldn't be taking with mm-hmm. a bunch of alcohol.
Alcohol and then like lack of sleep and just.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I know. It could have just, he could have had some sort of break and like.
Totally true. That's a good point.
Yeah. So I think that concludes this episode. But if you do have any information regarding the disappearance of Bryce Laspisa, you can contact the Los Angeles County Sheriff's Office at 323-890-5500 or call the family tip line at 949-292-4400, or you can email them at findbrycelaspisa@gmail.com, and you can also email us.
Yeah, please do.
If you want to, for whatever reason, at murdersisterspod@gmail.com. So murdersisterspod@gmail.com. And thank you for continuing to listen. Please subscribe, share our podcast with your family and friends.
Spread the word.
If they're into this kind of stuff. I know it's not everybody's jam.
But it's a lot of people's jam. We know that.
Yeah. So thanks, guys. Yeah. And until next time. Bye.